Alrighty, welcome back to another episode of the Lookout Podcast. I'm already blasting us out a little bit. I'm joined with my longtime good friend, Cousin Roy, and I was going to say, and goalie. Have been for pretty much since I started playing hockey. Blakely, I think, was my first year or so, and then you came on the scene, my friend.
Yeah, I came in the winter of between 18 and 19.
Yeah, and then just appeared on me,
and I did.
I didn't. No one like said anything, and when I finally asked, I think it was Tyler, your cousin Tyler. I was like, "Hey, man, where's Cousin Roy?" And for those who don't know, we all call him Cousin Roy. It's just how he's known around. Well, probably everywhere now, but the rink and probably fire now too, huh?
Yeah, I'm known like, let's see, throughout the forest at least.
Really?
Any neighboring districts, everybody knows Cousin Roy.
Everybody knows Cousin Roy. Everybody's cousin, man. It's so awesome. And that's all my brother calls you and everything. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's great, dude. It's easy identifiable thing, you know?
Yeah, when I introduce myself, I'm Roy. Everybody knows me as Cousin Roy.
Yeah, like, wait a minute. You left your first name out.
Yep.
So I guess on that story, because that's one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on, too, is to tell that story, because, like, I was talking to Tyler, and he's like, oh, yeah, he's... I think you're already out of the hospital at that point, but he's like, oh, yeah, you got hit by a train. But he said, like, so casually, I was like, is he alive? Like, what happened? And I'll let you go from there.
Yeah, February 19th, going to go to a kind of a side job, and was accepted at Nine Mile for firefighting.
Oh, yeah.
After hide from Benji.
Yeah.
And then February 19th, and yeah, I got hit by a train, and I didn't realize a traumatic brain injury.
Yeah.
So the last day before I remember from the train crash was February 17th, which then I won. That was the time I won the shotgun shoot me and my buddies have.
Yeah.
And then there's nothing until April 6th.
Really? Like no memories at all?
No memories.
Jeez.
And April 6th happened, woke up. And by this time, I was moved out of St. Pat's and moved over to St. Luke's rehab facility in Spokane.
And you've been conscious this whole time. You just no recall of it.
Lights were on, but nobody was home.
Whoa, dude. That is wild. Because, I don't know, maybe it was a rumor, but I thought I heard that you were, like, conscious when the first responder showed up, or whoever showed up first after the train hit you.
So, funny fact, after I was playing hockey before the train crash.
Oh.
Then got hit. Taylor Blakely, who took over my goalie position, was the EMT that was first on scene.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, Taylor's a great dude, man. I wouldn't want anybody else than that, you know? Like, couldn't ask for better than that, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
No, yeah, it's good to have somebody that you know.
Yeah.
To help you.
Absolutely, man. And he's got a ton of experience. I actually kind of grew up with him. He's from Three Forks, so just...
Oh.
Yeah, just a town over. So I watched a lot of his baseball games because one of my best friends played on the Gallon Valley Outlaws with Taylor, and man, they were pretty damn good back then. So it was cool watching those games. But man, I mean, you probably weren't really with it at that point, but I imagine there was some recognition there, like, oh man, this Angel Taylor Blakely's here, you know?
I hope so, because yeah. And then when I was in the hospital, confabulating stories.
Really?
Just making crazy stories. Like, I think it was Tyler or his brother Kyle that asked me, he's like, what'd you have for breakfast this morning? Caribou?
Yeah.
I have never had caribou.
maybe it was a craving that you've always had.
I guess so.
Yeah, one day.
I've always wanted to do a caribou hunt.
Yeah, man. I mean, yeah, I've always kind of thought about it too. And yeah, I don't... Funny that you mentioned it. Like, I think I've been around some exotic things, you know, and... Even like I was talking to a friend I work with about alligator the other day. He's from the South, you know, and I don't think I've ever had any, but caribou isn't even that exotic, and I've never even had an opportunity, I don't think, to have any caribou. Man. So you said February 17th till April 6th, is that what you said?
Yes. After April 6th was very spotty.
So you lost over a month.
Yeah.
And then the intermittent after that?
Yes, yeah. I had to stay with my parents so somebody could watch me once I got released from the hospital.
Oh, yeah.
And I was with my dad, and we were working in the arena with the horses, and he asked me to run back to the barn and go get some stuff. And it's 200-yard walk.
Yeah.
Walked there and came back with not what he asked for.
Oh, no.
But I was positive he asked for it.
Oh, no. He's like, hey.
So that 200 yards, I had forgotten what he even asked for.
Yeah, brain kind of skipped a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Man. But now, like, I mean, I haven't asked you about it, I guess, but it seems like you're back on the rails, like everything healed up. And
train's back on the rails.
Train's back on the rails, yeah. Man, because I think you were back pretty fast, because I remember it felt like a little while, and then all of a sudden you're still in like light duty and you're a little frustrated, but then all of a sudden you're back in net for us.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, that next winter, right back at net.
Yeah.
And I love it because we won the championship that year.
Yeah, man. Oh, it's great, dude. And then you were able to go do the fire and ice this year too, right?
I did do it this year.
Yeah. Oh, it's great, man.
It was.
Yeah, I'm so glad, because I know my first year, like, I think they were trying to figure out how to get you, but you had training or drill or something, and it was the timing was just not quite there.
Yep,
the first year, right?
Drill with the Navy Reserves.
Yeah. And the second year you were fire and ice, were you deployed or?
I was deployed.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah. So I remember being like, damn, I gotta get Roy in this game, and so I was super pumped that you were able to go out there with us this year, because that's such a great event.
I was able to play the Fire on Ice, was that 2020?
Oh, yeah.
Or, no, 2019, before the crash.
Oh, really?
I was playing Fire on Ice.
Oh, man.
And then everything happened. And
yeah, I'm trying to think. That might have been my first year playing Fire on Ice, too. No, because I've only played three games. So mine was 2022, I guess, if my math's right.
I think so.
Yeah, so 2019 until 2025, you hadn't been able to play?
On Fire and Ice.
Yeah, on Fire and Ice, that's what I mean, yeah. Oh, wow, dude. Well, yeah. I'm glad you returned.
Navy, yeah, I was able to come back this year.
Awesome.
But
are you still in the Navy then?
I am.
Oh, nice. Well, I appreciate your service.
Thank you.
Yeah, how long have you been in the Navy?
Approximately 12 and a half years.
Dang, man, that's been a good run. How long have you been in fire then?
This is my sixth season.
Oh, gotcha.
Let's see. Yeah.
Yeah, so accident was
2019.
2019.
So and that came on 2020.
Oh, gotcha. Because, yeah, you already picked up, but you couldn't because of TBI, so you couldn't work.
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha. So you came back on 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gotcha. Man, yeah, a tough deal. Yeah, I remember you run into you, and I think you were still with your folks, but I think you're transitioning out, and you're just pretty restless, and you're like, man, I just want to go do something, because, I mean, you pretty much were just, you had big parameters, right? You couldn't do a lot of activities because of your TBI, right?
Correct, yeah. Yeah, while I was in Spokane, I was doing occupational therapy, physical therapy, and even speech therapy.
Oh, really? You need speech too, huh?
Yeah, because when I was still at St. Pat's, my left leg wasn't working either.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. Man.
They had me in a walker, like the old folks.
Yeah, yeah.
And they had a rope tied from my foot to the walker. So whenever I moved the walker forward, it would move my left leg forward with it.
Oh, to kind of retrain your brain to be like, hey, this leg's still here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. Just a tiny bit of experience with that, because right before COVID, when my Crohn's was going real crazy, I was going to go into physical therapy school. So I stopped fighting fire for a little bit because of my guts. And I got to observe and job shadow a bunch of stuff, so I got to see a little bit of what that's about. I still have enough knowledge to know the ins and outs of it, but yeah, similar exercises of just getting people to kind of get that connection, you know, back to the brain and limb, whatever, you know, if it's a hand or leg like yours.
So were you going to become a physical therapist, more or less?
Yeah, that's what I was shooting for. I had all the prereqs in, and I think I was just like a few hours of job shadowing short. I can't remember if it was like 80 hours or what the requirement was for U of M. And then I just had to take my GRE one more time. I took it the first round and had all, you know, the passing marks are a little bit above or, you know, quite a bit above on some of those. But then math I was a little short on. So I was studying up on math to take the GRE again. And then COVID came in full swing and everything shut down. So jump back in the Forest Service, and here I am still. I think it was kind of a blessing in that sense, because instead of, you know, spending 3 years and going into, you know, more debt for student loans and stuff, I went back in the workforce and was able to kind of find a spot where, you know, I could work and not, you know, kill my guts. So it worked out all right that way. But back to the train wrecks, was it like a blind corner, or did you have any warning at all?
So this train crossing that I live next to, I've lived there for 10 plus years.
Oh, really?
And there's
Are you still living there?
No.
Oh, geez, this is gambling.
No, I was trying. I use caution at train crossings now.
Oh, I bet.
And I definitely look both ways and stop and listen.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so this crossing, no lights or arms. Yeah. It's just the train crossing signing and the stop sign. And if you're at the crossing and no train's coming, from when it comes into view to hitting the crossings, maybe 5 seconds.
Oh, geez.
And the further back you get from the crossing, the less time you have.
Yeah.
And so being February, my brain I like to think that there's ice on the roads.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to stop and slid and then tried to gun it. No traction. And just kind of
caught in that like no man's land, mm-hmm. like no option. Cause like you said, you're sliding, don't have traction to get across to beat the train. So like, yeah, man, you're just in a bad spot.
Yeah. Set up for failure.
Yeah, totally. What were you driving? Were you driving a pickup?
2011 Chevy 2500 Duramax.
Oh, dang, what a nice truck.
It was a nice truck. the train turned it into a croissant.
Oh, I bet, man.
Yeah, it center punched.
Wasn't much left.
It was a four-door, center punched my passenger side, kind of right about the rear, between the rear and passenger door.
Oh, gotcha.
And my thought is that it pushed in hard enough that there's the knuckle on the front that connects the cars together.
Yeah.
I think that got caught on top of my frame, and which luckily kept me from rolling.
Oh.
But I couldn't bounce off either direction.
Oh.
And so they pushed me about, it's a little over a quarter mile.
Oh, dang.
Before they could actually come to a stop.
Yeah, because, it takes forever for a train to stop when it's going. I mean, even, like, a slower speed, I think it takes a while.
But, hey, Cousin Roy stopped the train.
Yeah, exactly, man.
As a goalie, if you can stop a train, you can stop a puck, right?
Yeah, you can stop a puck. Hell, yeah. That's we're so glad to have you, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so how long have you been playing hockey, then? I didn't realize you were back in 2019 in Fire and Ice.
Yeah, so I played 2018-2019 winter, and then, well, shoot, I was back that next winter.
Oh, wow.
Because then, yeah, we won the championship.
Yeah. So
I have 6 years.
So 2019 was your first year, you said?
Yep.
Oh, wow. Yeah, 6 years are going on.
No, here. Five, because I was deployed over a winter.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, because we picked up Pat Mitchell for
correct
for that season. Yeah, yep. I forgot about that. And then he's the goalie we used for Fire and Ice for the 2 years that you weren't there.
Yep.
Or at least 2 years that I was playing that you weren't there. Yeah, it's great, Matt. Well, what's great too about our community is like, you know, like I've been playing with you forever, love playing with you. But then having Pat sub in too, you know, it's a nice feel too because he's such a great dude and he's pretty good in net as well.
Mm-hmm.
Man, yeah, you had some pressure on you this Fire and Ice, man. So I felt bad because I was playing defense and I don't play defense much. So,
yeah, no, the other team was pretty good.
Yeah, City had a pretty good team this year.
They
man.
Were able to sneak some in.
Yeah.
Were some really good shots.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It ended up being 2-1 at the end. I think because we went to overtime.
Is it a 2-1 or 3-2? One of the two.
I think it was 2-1 because I think we only snuck one past Seth Ramaki, I think was the other goal.
Yeah.
Yeah, and man, he's real good.
Holy well, he's cow. Big.
He is big, yeah. And yeah, pretty quick. I mean, he's got good side to side because not that I'm a great shot, but I was just, you know, trying to aim on either side and whatever window it seemed like he was giving me. And when I thought there was a window, there was not a window.
He gets down in his goalie stance and he takes up 90% of the net.
Yeah, because he's got to be like 6'4 or something, huh?
He's
a big boy. And I guess he's even like better when he skates out. Like I guess he's done both, but I think he like started doing goalie just to like maybe play some friends or something, you know, but I think he like skated out playing some decent high level hockey somewhere, but it's super cool though, you know, because he's Ranger and Steve I, so it kind of makes the community even better for Fire and Ice, you know, like, get the Ranger to come in, and it's good too. Like, you know, you want to win every year, but we've been on a streak, so I think it will give the you know, the city folks a little more, you know, something to fight for again, you know, to get, to maintain, you know, their trophy or the trophy. But man, such a good game, such a good turnout.
Oh yeah, it's a blast every year.
Yeah, man, it's something to do because it's usually the first week in February, right around that time. So, kind of a darker time of the year. So it's nice to have something like that.
Everyone's kind of getting over winter and ready for spring.
Yeah, totally. It kind of stacks up typically with a Forster's ball too. So mm-hmm. like,
yeah,
yeah. I think
that did stack up this year.
Yeah, I think we overlapped a little bit the year before. I want to say the year before was like offset by a week. Like the Forster's ball, I think, happened, and then Fire and Ice. So that's really nice because then it's like, you got like a weekend to go check out the ball, and then the next weekend you go to the Fire and Ice, and it keeps you busy, you know, and in the community.
I've still yet to make it to that Forester ball.
Oh, you haven't been?
No.
Oh, you guys.
I've heard so much about it, and like ran into people that work the event or help set up or take down.
Yeah. Well, yeah, in the Foresters too. There's so many forestry students that were involved. Yeah, in the Foresters ball, and I mean, like I knew Jonah was involved, but he was the chief push, which is head of the Foresters ball when he was in school here. So that was super cool. And so I've been wanting to pick his brain on that a little bit because it's cool, man. There's a lot going on. So it's a lot to juggle because you're in your full-time classes. And I think you have some other stuff that you're doing, like with the forestry program. And then you have the ball to put on and organizing all the people and then doing some of the press stuff to get the word out about it. It's a great event.
Yeah.
Did you, speaking of events, though, did you shoot this morning?
I did shoot this morning.
How'd it go, man?
Well, they have the special prize that you can win, a random pick, but as long as you hit that clay, you get it.
Really?
I got it.
You got it? Oh, dude, awesome. That's super cool. Is that at the beginning or the end of the shoot? Or?
It's random throughout.
Oh, throughout? Oh, cool.
Because we do 25, and then they normally take a sec to let you get a new box of shells.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then you shoot a second 25 and just
randomly throughout that round.
Yep.
Oh, gotcha. So does every team kind of have that option to?
Yeah, there's at least this year, I've noticed on multiple people's cards that there's two shooters that have a randomly picked shot that is the prize.
Oh, cool.
So this year it was myself and Mr. Will Reed.
Will Reed? Oh, nice. How'd he do?
He got it, too.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, cool, man. Oh, that really makes a day, too, man. Starts it off right.
Oh, yeah.
I love that, man. Like, my wife's working on the weekend, so, like, I got the kiddos in the morning, and then I thought about bringing them, but it just makes for a really long day for all of us, you know.
It does.
Starting there and then coming here, so, and, you know, I already told CJ and Jim Ward that I was, you know, bringing the Airstream to this event, and which is great, because I get to talk to you and kind of recap the day. But man, what a great way to start off the day, right? Like mm-hmm. just hanging out at the trap club there and
running into people that you haven't seen all winter or even maybe all year, because maybe they were on fires when
you were home
and then vice versa. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, because that happens a lot, man. Even if you're on the same district, sometimes you barely see anybody because you get in that rotation, like you said, and next thing you know, it's like, man, I haven't ran into Roy all summer. Like,
do they still work here?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, they're on a fire. Ah.
Yeah. Oh, gotcha. Yeah. And then, you know, you get some of those single resource things that you're chasing. Mm-hmm. So you can be out quite a bit doing that. And yeah, you get that weird rhythm. Having the jump ace a lot too. Like you get kind of your crew that you're around. And you may not jump with them all the time, but you just kind of like end up in this rhythm with the same folks around the same time. So mm-hmm. you'd only see like a quarter of the jump ace because you'd just be out when people were back and vice versa, like you said.
Yeah.
Which kind of makes it kind of fun, but also you're like, like you said, makes the end of your party, like the jumpers have the tea party or termination party, and makes for a really good time because you get to see some folks and recap the summer that you hadn't seen all year. So you're like, oh mm-hmm. man, how'd it go? Oh yeah, I heard you were in Reading at this point, you know, and all the whatever, you know, fire this they got on.
And then when you finally run into each other, you're like, you still work here? Let's go grab a beer.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go grab a drink or go hang out or do something.
Yeah, exactly, man. And it's super cool. And I think that's what's awesome about where we live here in Missoula is that, like, right now we're at the Highlander Brewery for the putt and pull.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's close to Jump Ace. It's on the same side of town, like, if you're heading towards 9 Mile. So it's, like, it's a nice, convenient stopping point. Like,
it is.
Yeah, there's a few times where it's just like, hey, let's grab a beer and, you know, come grab a slice of pizza and a beer and just like
delicious pizza.
Yeah, it is.
Shout out to Highlander Brewery.
Yeah, man, so good. You guys keep up the good work. But yeah, so it's, you know, it's usually like no one's really got time to hang too long, so it's great little like, hey, let's go have a beer, let's, you know, catch up a little bit, and then you know, see you on the next one, or see you next week, you know, next week or whenever you're gonna run to each other again. You know, Because, like, if you get with someone who's on that rhythm, they might only be here for their 2 hour and our days, mm-hmm. and then they're, you know, back after it. So get a little recap before they get out the door again. But did you go shoot golf too then today?
Or? No, I didn't. I went there and I was going to jump into someone's cart, but all the carts were gone when I got there.
Oh, really?
So I was like, I just looked at a hole that was nearest and I was like, I'm going to go hang out there.
Oh, nice.
And happened to end up with two of the folks from the Firefighter Foundation.
Oh, cool. That's awesome. Did you tag along with them while they were shooting then? Or?
No, they were doing the raffles.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool, man.
So hey, I sat out there and helped with them.
Oh, dude. So cool, man.
Found out that one of them knows one of my family members.
Oh, really?
So it's like, oh.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's the fire community. You know, like they say, Montana's the big small town.
It is.
Yeah, it is.
It totally. Truly is.
And same with the Forest Service or just wildland fire in general. It's like, you know, the big small community. Like there's a lot of us out there, wildland fire folks. But like, man, you could be on a fire somewhere and be like, especially with you, because two of your cousins are fighting fire still, right?
Yep.
And so, yeah, it's like Ischler, huh? Is your last name Ischler?
Nope, it's Shutter.
Shutter. Ah, so maybe it wouldn't be as the connection. But if someone's like, you know, if you were like on a fire or whatever, or they said like, I work at Plains, you'd be like, oh, do you work with my cousin?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it starts that conversation.
Yeah, do you work with them or have you worked with them or something?
Yeah, totally, man. And I've had a lot of that in my career. Like, I'm from Whitehall, so like, at one point, I think there was, I don't even know, there was a pile of us in fire at one point, you know, and so they'd be like, oh, you're from Whitehall, do you know this person? Or I worked with this person, and I was on the shots with this person. You're like, oh, yeah, man. And there's so many of us in like a short span of time, too, that came from Whitehall that
mm-hmm.
went a career in the Forest Service. So, man, it's just gives you those warm fuzzies, man.
Yeah, it's, oh, you're from Alberton. Hey, do you work with Cody or Tyler?
Yeah.
I was like, actually, yes, and they're my cousins.
Yeah.
Like, oh, wait, your cousin Roy.
Yes.
It's like, ah.
That's what I was thinking, man. And, yeah, it totally makes that connection just awesome. And it's funny because I think it was, man, I don't remember what it was, what was going on at the ice rink. It wasn't fire and ice. It was something else where there was just, like, a bunch of people there. And then, like, it seemed like quite a few folks who, like, knew about you but hadn't met you yet. And you're like, oh, your cousin Roy?
Yeah.
Or they played against you, but they just, you know, if you don't take your helmet off or if they're not like there at the end and just, you know, briefly pass you in the line after the game, wouldn't really like put a name to the face, mm-hmm. you know? They're like, oh, yeah, I played against you, you know?
I'm known as Cousin Roy so well that Anna Henderson, she was the prevention tech at 9 Mile, and now she, I do not recall what her position is now. I believe she thought my first name was Cousiner.
Yeah, really? I bet, man. Yeah, because especially if someone kind of like whips it out real quick, like, oh, yeah, Cousin Roy.
That's Cousin Roy.
Yeah, yeah. She's like, oh, wait a minute. I know, because that's what, I can't remember. Someone introduced you, and you probably remember the moment. It was like in our locker room. I can't remember if it was this Fire and Ice or one of our regular beer league games, but someone was like, oh, this is Roy. And then everyone jumped on. I'm like, hey, Cousin Roy. Get it right.
Yeah, it was definitely, yeah, like you said, okay. Might have been fire and ice, might have just been one first game of the season for us.
Some new folks on the roster or something, or a new person and introducing you. And that's super cool, Max. Like I said, it kind of adds to everything here. Speaking of, I can't see behind me. Is it getting pretty full?
Not too much.
Yeah.
Kinda not as much as I thought there was going to be. Well, we're still kind of early, but.
Yeah, still early.
Folks probably still finishing up golf.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of thinking, because I didn't see CJ out there when you came in. Was he here yet?
Not yet.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, that's usually when things get rolling, when he grabs the mic, and he's so good at that, man.
Oh, he is. He is such a people person and presenter.
Yeah, and presenter, yeah. And he has that entertainment part of it, too. You know, he can carry conversation, just like one-sided conversation, so well, like all night long, and doesn't really skip a beat, you know, and it's like on his game, real witty.
His flow's all great.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It's definitely something I'm kind of shooting for. And even just like the hosting podcast game, it's a little different because I can lean on you a little bit for, well, I mean, this, when I have someone on, it's really about them, you know, so mm-hmm. like this episode's about talking about you and fire and hockey and just, you know, all the stuff that you do.
Yeah.
So it makes it actually a lot easier than what CJ's got to do. But, you know, he's really good at, like, the observation stuff and you know, just having a joke or something that comes to his brain, and you know,
he's got so many jokes.
Oh, it's so good, man.
He's got a library, yeah, in his brain just of a jokes.
Rolodex, yeah. So good, man. And so you're talking about that competition with your buddies. Do you do any other like trap shooting, or is it just kind of more of a hobby?
No, it's just to get together with buddies. I don't shoot shotgun normally any other time besides my competition with buddies and the putting pole.
Oh, nice. Do you do any like bird hunting or anything though?
No.
Oh, really?
No.
Dang, man. Well, you didn't miss that clay, so you must be.
I got something.
Yeah, pretty good, man. That's really good. I've been trying to do a little more shooting. I didn't get out much this year, and you know, trying to just manage my time a little better for this next bird season. Mm-hmm. I haven't done any upland, you know, like pheasant hunting in a little while. I usually go with the in-laws in Wisconsin, and just haven't been back that way. And then it's a little harder out here because you gotta usually go by like Great Falls or something, find some good public land where you know some birds are gonna be.
I've never done upland game bird besides.
Oh, really?
The mountain grouse.
Oh yeah, yeah, man, that's a simple bugger.
Oh, just go for a drive and all of a sudden you see one flying or something, or just stand on the side of the road, jump out, step off the road.
Yeah,
you got to step off the road.
Yep, exactly. And then illegal,
pop them and it's right there.
I know, it's so easy, man. Like, yeah, and they'll just stare at you forever. Like I walked up on I knew it had some red on, but I'm blanking on like, and I looked it up, like a rough grouse or something, and God dang it. But we got blue grouse,
rough grouse,
and
out east we got the sage grouse,
yeah, might have been a rough grouse, and
those are the main two I know, is just rough and blue.
Yeah, same. And I don't see them that enough, or I don't care enough to really like
dive into it,
yeah, or like keep it in my brain. But I was up observation point kind of by Sand Mountain Lookout, and I was going to tie in with the tramp program. It's jumpers. I can't remember exactly what it stands for, but it's a bunch of retired smoke jumpers that are a part of the NSA, I think, the National Smoke Jumper Association. Yeah, they are, because then they have like the, it's kind of a subgroup where they work with different forests and do trail work. And so it's going to catch up with them and take some photos and to like highlight the tramp program, or, you know, retired smoke jumpers doing trail work on the Bitterroot National Forest. So I was like motoring right along, and then all of a sudden I just like caught something out of the corner of my eye, and there's just like an old stump right next to the trail, and there's a rough grouse. I'm just gonna say it because I don't remember what it was, but like, you know, they just kind of go like still and they'll kind of look at you out of one eye, you know, and it did that, and I just happened to catch it like kind of freeze. And I like sat there for a minute, and then all of a sudden all the babies just popped up next to it.
Oh.
It was really cool. I mean, like, one was about on my boot, and they don't move very fast, as you know, those hover. And I'm like, I don't want to scare you guys, but like, I gotta get going, you know. So like, I had my phone from like me to the recorder away, taking pictures of the mama and the baby, and then I like slowly slinked away, and they didn't really care. Man, such a simple creature. I don't know how that thing's still alive.
I've got a love hating relationship with them,
because they'll scare the piss out of you once in a while.
Oh, so I've got horses and mules,
mm.
And so if we go packing somewhere, riding the trails. And all of a sudden, one blows out of the bushes, and mules and horses are like, ah.
Yeah, get a little rodeo on the trail.
Oh,
yeah, and that sound, too, man. They beat their wings. It is so loud. I mean, it's scared the piss out of me a few times just hunting. You know,
oh, like, especially you're trying to be quiet, yeah. Quiet. You're listening really hard, and all of a sudden, they get out of there, and it's,
oh. Yeah, they kill you because they're just, like, staring at you the whole time. You don't see them. They're kind of tucked in the weeds a little bit. And all of a sudden you get like one, you know, just a little bit too close, man. Just like a half a step, and all of a sudden,
snake in the grass.
Yeah. It's like, oh, God. You know, it's like, well, this is it. That's probably what's going to kill me, man. But I'll be up there hiking.
A little heart attack from the grouse.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully it'll be in my later years, you know, like my 70s, and then, you know, my kiddos will have to come find me.
Wouldn't be a bad way to go out in the mountains.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Doing what you love.
Yeah, definitely way worse ways to go. Man. Oh, yeah. I wouldn't mind that at all. My dad was always kind of teasing that's the way he wanted to go, was on a hunt somewhere up in the Tobacco Roots or something. That's one of the mountain ranges by Whitehall there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, shoot, I won't keep you too much longer. I just wanted to get a quick half hour in with you, man.
Oh, no, you're good.
We're about there. Have you done any last question about the hunting? Waterfowl, have you done any like ducks or geese or any of that?
Very little, but yeah, I'd have.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just wondering, because Man, I used to be, and I think it's kind of the same motion. Like pheasants, a lot of times will kind of pass like a clay will. So, you know, I used to do pretty good at clay pit, clay shooting, at trap shooting. And then, but like ducks, you know, like, and geese are kind of different patterns, you know, like, cause you're in a blind, man. And I mean, kind of sweeping down. I don't know. I've been struggling with it, man.
Yeah. Ducks. Let's see. I think the last duck I shot was a couple years ago.
Oh, really?
But that was on the way to where we were going to sit.
Oh, really?
And we popped over the bank, and all of a sudden they blow out of the water and get up in the air, and it's like, oh, there they are. Take them.
Nice, man. Yeah, that's a... Around Whitehall, it's kind of like the thing to do because there's just not a lot of, like, public access to ponds or lakes around there. So a lot of, like, slough kind of jump shooting. And like I said, that's probably a little more my speed. You know, maybe I get back on that because I'm sitting a blind, man. Everything flying is totally safe. I might scare him a little bit, but
I don't think I'd be able to sit still long enough.
Yeah.
Or just sit. I've always got to be doing something.
Yeah, yeah, totally. I had that a little while ago, but I think in my like kind of older age, you know, I kind of appreciate just kind of the stillness. And the place I go has a lot of pheasant. You can't hunt them there, but it has a lot of pheasant. So like they're kind of swooping by quite a bit and talking and chattering, and just like enough wildlife moving out there to kind of keep your brain busy. And yeah, it's just been kind of nice that way to just kind of hang out, and usually go with my brother, so that makes it really nice too.
And the brother Barretts.
Yeah, totally. I was just gonna say, man, yeah, we'll have to, yeah, well, next time me and Caleb go, we'll have to hit you up, dude.
Heck yeah.
Well, shoot, Roy, thanks for giving me some time here, man. Yeah. I'll let you go out and enjoy the party. I'll probably come out and talk to some folks too.
Sounds like a deal.
All right, man. Thanks. I appreciate you.
And, no problem.
Thanks for tuning in, folks. And if you get a chance, check out the putting pole next year. Great time.
It's a great time.
Man, so good.